This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Epic views, waterfall mists, summit sunsets. It's all better outside. And with All Trails, you can discover the best of nature with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today and find your next adventure.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Now it's time for Inside the Clubhouse, a show dedicated to the Chicago baseball fan, featuring the best Chicago baseball conversation, as well as the big MLB topics, starring Score baseball insider Bruce Levine and half of Chicago's number one sports morning show, David Haw. It all starts now on Sports Radio 670 The Score and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Good Saturday morning, Chicago. Welcome back inside the clubhouse right here on 670 The Score and your free Odyssey and iHeartRadio app. Broadcasting live from the Score's Hyundai Studios until 11 o'clock like we do every Saturday morning. I am David Haw along with Bruce Levine. Today, reacting to a long, tough week of baseball in town where the biggest hits have come at Halas Hall. Good morning, Bruce. How are you?
Wow, you've been saving that one, haven't you?
Well, it's true. Where'd the offense go? What happened to the Cubs? White Sox, I thought we were supposed to be happy about the... They turned the corner.
There's plenty of things offensive about both, right? So... not the offense you want, yes, on the field, but
an offensive week indeed.
Right. So we're here for you, David and Bruce. We're your therapists for Chicago baseball this week, and we're going to be here from 9 until 11, talking to you as well as bringing you the best guests, best information in town. That's what we do every Saturday. 49, 50 weeks out of
roughly, the year. 312-644-6767. We want to get your input on a couple things about the Cubs and also about the White Sox. We've got a big show at 10 o'clock. Willie Castro, the Cubs, very versatile utility guy, Mr. Everything. He's been here a week and he's already played four or five positions. He will join us. And at 10:30, Chris Getz, the general manager of the Chicago White Sox. A lot of things going on with them organizationally, with some of the young prospects. Looking forward to talking to Chris at the at 10:30.
Yeah, Luis Robert, we're going to talk about that throughout the show. But again, the thinking is that they are going to pick up that $20 million option, which I have a little bit of a problem with. We'll talk about that as we
debate.
Move on in the show.
It's a healthy debate because we tend to disagree on that one. But let's start with the Cubs, because that is the biggest story in town. What has happened to the Chicago Cubs offense? What has happened to the Cubs overall as a team? Since the trade deadline, things have been a downer on the north side. And now you have two things happening, Bruce. You have the Cubs in a deep offensive slump, and you have the Brewers on a historic overall pace. Those two things together have left the Cubs five games back in the National League Central. So it leaves you as a Cub fan, I believe, and this, you can answer this either way. Have you gotten to the point yet where this season has become about just get in? Just get in the tournament. Just make the playoffs. Go in as a wild card. Or are you still clinging to hope that you can catch the Brewers, because there's five games left and it is only August 9th.
So what is the reality of playing between now and the five-game series that starts a week from Monday at Wrigley Field with a doubleheader, five games, one of them is a makeup game, so it's a split doubleheader on the Monday the 18th. What is the reality of the situation? David, the Cubs are still a really good team, okay? They're a really good team who put together the best part of their record in April, May, up until June 1st. And since then, they basically have been a 500 team. There are three games over 500 since June 1st, okay? They haven't lost four in a row all year. I don't know if they've won four in a row. So they've been a pretty predictably good team all year long. Great team? No. Team good enough to get hot the last 47 games, get back in and win this division? Yes, they still are.
Mm-hmm.
The question is, will Milwaukee ever lose the game
again?
That's
a good question. That's a very good question. And I think, though, you have to respect what is going on with Pat Murphy's team and the Brewers. But you also want to compartmentalize how you feel about the Cubs and what's going on here. Since the trade deadline, there have been really reasons to believe. There's been reasons to doubt, Bruce. That's the thing about it, is that what you say about the stats and what kind of team this has become, and everybody endures slumps. The cues since the trade deadline, I think, have been frustrating. And the play on the field has been uninspiring, too, and disappointing. The combination of those two things makes this feel worse than it might be.
Right. Well, I think that's a good point, David. It's probably feels worse than it is because of the fact that Milwaukee has been that hot.
Well, right? They've been that hot, yes.
Right. And the idea is that Milwaukee's picked up, 11 games over the Cubs.
It's unbelievable.
They were like,
it's really unbelievable.
They were like six and a half out behind the Cubs at one point, maybe seven, and now they're five ahead. So that type of turnaround is unpredictable. It's not likely, but it did happen.
Okay, but that's the reality. That's the reality. But here's what bothers me about the perception. And this is where I think we can talk through this and get people to tell us how they feel and if they agree or disagree. The perception is that the Cubs are accepting this, that the Cubs have maybe even conceded this, and that this season has been now pivoted to an exercise in acceptance and concession, and not going out and seizing the opportunity that 2 weeks ago felt like it was a chance to win a World Series.
I just think, collectively, offensively, they're in a slump.
Okay.
I mean, they are. We talked with, your co-host, Ruthie, the other day about, do they get hot together? Do they get cold together? Right now, her theory is probably right about them being cold together. They all are, right?
Mm-hmm.
So name a hot Cub player right now.
Really can't do it.
Right.
Can't do it. Who would be their best hitter right now? It depends on the day.
It'd probably be Nico Horner.
Nico Horner, maybe. Matt Shaw? But he
doesn't even play every day.
Justin Turner batted second the other day because he had a walk-off, and that's how things have devolved into this. Every day is roll of the dice.
Who do you want to blame? Do you want to blame Turner? You want to blame Tucker? You want to blame PCA, who's in a 2-for-26 slump right now the All-Star game?
Blame? I think it's the wrong
word. Hasn't had an extra base hit. No stolen bases. One thing that's noticeable that you understand and that you hear from a lot of people, which is true, is they stopped being the Cubs. What were the Cubs early on? They were a team that hit with men in scoring position. They ran the bases extraordinarily. Yeah. And Now they're doing neither, right? So you have to have men on base to be able to steal bases.
Yes.
They haven't had a lot of those situations.
The Cubs were fun, fast, and aggressive, and they hit the ball out of the ballpark, right. And they hit for average, and they were doing things that made you think that this was the year. Here's the other thing that bothers me. I want to understand, and we did talk through this at the trade deadline, why they were idle and why they didn't
take. They weren't idle.
Okay, let me rephrase that then. They weren't idle. You're right. They made moves that made them a better baseball team. They didn't make the move that we had talked about in the months leading up to the trade deadline. And Jed Hoyer did explain it well. But I also think there was a tinge of disappointment that turned into disgust because what followed after the trade deadline was a slump.
Right.
And I wonder this, Bruce. What message did that send to the players in the clubhouse? Did that have a... just in kind of an unspoken effect that was a negative one, a deflation, because the players in the clubhouse expecting their front office to go out and act as aggressively and reward their play to that point, and they didn't.
Well, that's fair, because baseball players are human. Baseball players are fans. Baseball players want their front office to get better players to go along. At the same time, not eliminating them individually from those teams.
That's
right?
True. That's true.
So there's that. But the reality is that what did they need, David, going into the trading deadline?
Starting pitching,
they
bullpen helping.
A starting pitching, but not a just a starting pitcher. And with all due respect to Mike Soroka, you know, they got a guy that at his best was, you know, a third, fourth, fifth starter, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So they were not able to get a number one or two. There were hardly any of those traded, right?
Well, they weren't able to, right, because they were unwilling to part with what was necessary.
And they,
yes,
decided they didn't need the big bat, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So Suarez was a guy they passed on because, again, we kept hearing about, we can't trade our top 100 players in baseball off of our minor league teams. We can't do it. We have to hold on to that. We have to be responsible for the future. It was contrary to going out and getting Kyle Tucker. So one,
you're
thing,
right. It was
one
a mixed thing, message.
One thing.
It was a mixed message.
One thing had zero
we
to do with the
this
other.
This was the year to go for it. You've got, right, 1 year of King Tuck. And then you're going to focus, and every decision is going to be rooted in that philosophy and that premise. And when you shift the argument and you change the rules, that makes it frustrating. So it brings me to this, and this is what really kind of ticks me off, Bruce. All right, I don't want to get ticked off. This frustrated me when I read it, because I saw it yesterday afternoon after I was off the air, and I thought, okay, this is something we've got to talk about. Carter Hawkins on ESPN.com said this in explaining the trade deadline philosophy. There's a longer quote that starts with, "It's hard when you see other teams you're competing with get really good players, but those aren't decisions you're making in the moment. They're decisions you're making over the course of the week and month, et cetera, et cetera." Then he gets to this about why the Cubs didn't end up with something better at the deadline. Quote, "Teams are trying to find that guy that can lock down the eighth or ninth inning, but that also costs a lot. That costs a lot of future wins. We have a responsibility to the 2025 Cubs, but also to the 2032 Cubs. That's not always popular in the moment, but it's decisions we have to make." End of quote. All right. I don't care about the 2032 Cubs right now, because I came into the season prioritizing this season and now, the here and now, because you know who's here and now? Kyle Tucker. And I think you gave up Cam Smith because you cared more about 2025 than 2032. Don't change the discussion.
Taking the focus. Taking your thoughts, and they're good ones, a step further, this team has been built to win this year and next, right?
Yes.
So, who can be gone after next year? Ian Happ,
mm-hmm,
Seiya Suzuki.
True.
Right? Pitching Boyd, Tyone, I believe Steele.
I believe you're right.
Kelly is there next year.
Isn't that, you're making the point, like this year, you're all in.
This is the window.
You are all in this year.
This is your window. Now, Hawkins is saying, yeah, that might be our window now, but the guys who we're holding on to, that's our future window, and we're not going to trade that away to try to overextend what we have right now to win. Well, as you said, David, coming into the segment, it's a mixed message.
Yeah,
I don't know how to.
They changed the script.
Right.
They switched the samples.
Well, you know, as we're 47 games away from Kyle Tucker being a free agent and the growth of Cam Smith in Houston, you know, does the front office get cold feet because they don't want to trade away more inventory that's going to be starting somewhere else?
Excellent point. That's an excellent concern, or at least I think it's a good point to make, because you do wonder that the longer this goes on. Bruce, let's get to as many callers as we can. Callers, we have a lot of you lined up. Let's make a quick point, get through as many as we can, and let's start the conversation with Mitch and Byron. Mitch, welcome to Inside the Clubhouse.
Good morning, gentlemen. I look forward to Saturday mornings more so than any day of the week because I love your program. The problem right now, obviously, is the slump that we're in offensively, and I think that extends to the base running. Fifth inning last night, our best base stealer, Nico, on second. Our good base runner, Dansby, on first. We sat still, hoping that Bush would get a hit. He didn't. Hoping that Saya would get a hit. He didn't. Hoping that King Tuck would get a hit. He didn't. Run the bases.
Thank you, Mitch. Appreciate the phone call. Bob.
That's what they had been doing.
They were fast, fun, and aggressive. Bob is in Arlington Heights. Morning, Bob.
Good morning. Our new symbol should be Ronnie Woo Woo. Only there's three O's in woo. It stands for we're on our own. Jed got what he wanted. Now we're stuck. Jed went shopping instead of at Filene's or instead of at Nordstrom's. Jed went to the bargain basement, and this is what we got. Yeah, we got a starting pitcher. It was a great two innings, wasn't it? And you know, we didn't just get Tucker for Cam Smith. You forgot about Ryan Pressly. Oh, I forgot. He's gone too. And, you know, as far as the guys who can be gone next year, I'll help Saya and Ian, and I love Ian Happ, but I'll help him pack, okay? Because I think it's starting to look like July of 2021 when you saw a lot of people go away.
Good memory, yeah. Bob. Thanks for the phone call. Tim on the South Side. Tim, welcome inside the clubhouse.
The dollar store.
Hey, guys. What's happening?
Hey, Tim.
I listen to you guys almost every Saturday morning. But anyway, I think the Cubs woes are linked to the changes in the lineup that he's made, that our council has made. You know, we don't have our best hitter, which is Nico Horner, our Spark Club guy who bats 290-plus. Why is he not leading off in spite of left-handers or right-handers?
I'm with you.
And then
I'm with you on that.
Then you could put Bush in the cleanup spot and then lower PCA back to where he was when he was getting hot. He was very hot batting in the seventh hole, you know, when the lower part of the batting order was producing. And so, anyway, that's my thought on the situation. I think Council has to try to find a way to restructure the lineup where he can put the guys in the best productive situation they can be in.
Tim, that's a good phone call. Bruce,
I'm with him.
Hasn't Craig Council been flexible with the lineup, though? He's tried different combinations.
He does, and he does it on a matchup basis every day. You know, if you look at most managers' lineups, David, they're based on OPS. First four to five players are almost consistently, you know, who's closest or in 800, 800, 800. It's almost every lineup you see in Major League Baseball. First four or five guys have the highest OPS. In the case of Pete Crow Armstrong, I like that call because, again, he can do so much damage at the bottom of the lineup. And the bottom of the lineup, it's not a disgrace to hit seventh because there's no pitcher to pinch hit for anymore. So it's only the first inning that the leadoff man's a true leadoff guy. I like Horner up there because he gets on base. He can steal a base. He's their best and smartest base
runner.
And he can
grind out at bats so that you run the pitch count up.
Yeah, again, it doesn't go along with the modern manager's scientific approach to OPS because Horner does not he's not an extra base hit guy. So his slug is always going to be down. But to me, you know, he's as a complete player as they have on the team. I would say his best spot would be number one.
I don't like him batting eighth like he did last night. I don't know, think that was a very good
him
decision.
Him and Swanson at the bottom of the lineup, it gives me some type of weird feeling, right? I mean, it's like, okay, can't they be better somewhere else? Maybe Swanson, but I think Horner's wasted at the bottom.
Yeah, and I'm not sure Michael Bush makes much sense at the top any longer. It was a nice experiment while it lasted, but I think it's time to do something else. Let's go back to the phone lines. Mike is in Chicago Heights. Mike, welcome inside the clubhouse.
Hey, gentlemen. You know what? Everybody is saying the same thing I'm saying. You know what? You can't score if you can't get on base, if you strike out every time you bat. Swanson, everybody. First and second, nobody out. Strike one, strike two, strike three, three times in a row. I mean, or maybe not in a row, but the strikeouts really hurt their offense. And it's really sad because I see Swanson striking out with Ben in scoring position. Every time I turn the TV on, I said, well, the Cubs are losing 4-0. Here comes Swanson with a man on first. Okay, strike three. Can I go on?
Thanks for the phone call. It's frustrating. There's one guy after another kind of letting Cub fans down. Bruce, let's switch the conversation quickly before we get back to the phone lines to pitching. Jameson Taillon had a strong start Friday night in Iowa. Might he and Javier Saad join the team during the road trip?
Yeah, I don't think so. I think one more at least for Taillon. I would say they're still talking about Assad, whether he should pitch this week or not. Because they're going to be starting on Tuesday, David. They have a day off Monday. Then they play 14 games in 13 days. So you're going to have a lot of options. That includes Ben Brown. That includes Javier Assad. That includes Taillon. They're going to need their whole arsenal of pitching. Some people are going to have to be flexible and maybe go to the minor leagues for a short time. There's a lot of internal movements that they'll have to be made during that time.
Paul is in Valparaiso. Paul, welcome inside the clubhouse.
Good morning, guys. Hey, good morning, guys. Yeah, I agree with the previous caller. I don't think it's been over a week that I can think of. I don't know the exact amount of games that they have not even attempted a stolen base. But the Jed Hoyer thing, I think, is really – I've backed the Ricketts since they've been here. And I think that's such a loser move to sign him after a good first half. They haven't finished it off. This team is really in danger of not making the playoffs. It's a dead team. Bruce, you just said that. They have 14 straight games. They look dead now. What are they going to do? And then they're going to say, oh, the schedule caught up to us. We had 14 in a row, and the team's running out of gas. I mean, why did we sign Jed Hoyer to that contract before he finished off this season? If they don't make the playoffs, how can they justify signing him to a long-term agreement?
Thanks, Paul. Appreciate the phone call. The thing of it is, and he I don't want to say he slipped there, but the frustration comes in the fact that the Cubs aren't competing for the top of the division. They're still in very good shape to make the playoffs.
Yeah, they are. So they have 47 games left. If they go 23-24, they have 89 wins. That'll get them in. Might not be the number one seed as a wild card, but it'll get you in.
They're still realistically in a position to win 90 games.
Yeah. Well,
Craig Counsell say about this team and the standard at the end of last season? You need to be a 90-win team.
Right.
And I think you want to get into the playoffs. That feels
every
like
year.
It's
every year.
Every year. And it feels like you're moving the goalposts because of the way the season started and how good the Cubs looked at times.
Well, the one conclusion is that the 162-game schedule will tell you who you are at some point, no matter what. So will Milwaukee continue to be an 800 winning team? Will they win 80% of the rest of their games? No, they aren't going to. But they've given themselves such a nice cushion that they're automatically a playoff team now, right?
They're in.
They have the best team record in baseball by far right now, okay? Mm-hmm. 4 or 5 games at least. The Cubs are still tied for the second best winning percentage in the National League, I believe. So does that mean anything to you right now? No. I mean, it means that they've slipped to the point where you're concerned about them. Can they turn it around with the quality of players they have? I think they will.
We will continue.
Switch the samples.
We'll continue to get to your phone calls. We have a big show ahead. Willie Castro will join us at 10 o'clock. Chris Getz at 10:30, talking about the White Sox and their tough week. They were losers last night, 9-5 at home to the Guardians. The Cubs, of course, shut out in St. Louis, 5-0. When we come back, tough week, tough stretch for Jed Hoyer, especially when he had to talk about the starting pitcher he did trade for at the deadline, last of all of 2 innings.
Are we going high and tight on him?
We're going high and tight. It's time for Chin Music right here and Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Oh, no! We suck again!
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their 6-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The 4-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
For some chin music.
Hey, Yomp, how about a warning?
Sure. Watch out you don't get killed.
Because sometimes in baseball, you've got to send a strong message, especially when someone has it coming. Each Saturday, David and Bruce come in high and tight with a response to something that deserves one, like this.
We make bets on human beings, and sometimes they work out, and obviously in this case, it doesn't mean that. Like I said, I haven't gotten a full report yet, but obviously disappointed. We did a lot of due diligence, a ton of research, and you know, if it doesn't work out, that's on me. That's the job.
Welcome back to Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score, a little chin music there for Jed Hoyer, who, Bruce, I think was as transparent as ever. Did not have to come back. I believe he was out of town and address the Michael Soroka situation that turned into what looks like a bad gamble on a pitcher who was showing signs of velocity decline and concerned by the it just seems like it was a bad deal, a bad risk, and Jed owned it.
I used the term dollar store.
You did.
Mike Soroka, under ideal circumstances, would have been a nice piece. As you mentioned, the loss in velocity before the trade, you know, that was a red flag that you can't ignore now. I mean, you can't. Hopefully this is only 10 days and he can come back. I don't think they're counting on it.
It was the kind of move you make, in fairness, to kind of relate back to Paul from Valpo's phone call. And I want to know what you think of this. I think it can be a little bit unfair to look at it this way, but I do know how perception works. It's the kind of move that people will look at and say, you wouldn't take that risk if you were worried about keeping your job. And that Jed Hoyer, the announcement that he had a contract extension days before this deadline, he made that trade and took that risk knowing that if it failed, as it has, then he still has job security. Is that a fair way? Is that an accurate way to look at that picture?
No, I mean, I don't think so. I really believe Jed is honest and straightforward when it comes to the fact that whether he got the extension now or not, it would have been the same type of deals, that they were not going to give up their best young minor league players for a rental. Okay.
We agree on that.
Okay.
We agree on that. But I think that the perception is understandable given the fact they made an announcement days before the deadline that he was going to be back and had signed a contract extension.
Yeah, I believe that was just to give him strength with the other general managers, that he wasn't going to get pushed around at the deadline because he was desperate. So I think that gave him a little bit of a power going into the trading deadline that, hey, don't offer me things that are unrealistic because I'm not desperate. I don't have to keep my job. So either way, I think he would have done the same thing. Again, other than Merrill Kelly, nobody of import got moved. You know, I mean, Texas stood up. They said, hey, this is the pitcher we need. Would the Cubs situation look better to you now with Merrill Kelly as one of the starting pitchers?
Well, Merrill Kelly in Chicago would look better than it does now because you, number one, would have another option in your starting rotation of,
right,
and the possibility of a guy stepping forward in September. And number two, it would reflect the front office that was as aggressive as you wanted them to be as a fan base.
Right. But you weren't giving up Ballesteros, Wiggins, or Casey for that.
Probably not Casey. Probably not Wiggins. You might be inclined. And maybe Ballesteros. But Bruce, even the fact that we're being those are prudent, that's a prudent answer. That is a safe, smart response. But I don't think that in the end of the day, after what the Cubs didn't get at the deadline, people are interested in the Cubs being prudent, safe, or smart. They wanted them to be a little bit more of a gambler.
The unfortunate part is that you haven't guaranteed yourself another out-getter. So that's really unfortunate because, you know, Soroka, even when he comes back, you can't bet that he's going to be in the condition that you need him in for the last 40 games or so. And you know, the reliability of him, it can't be counted on. So with that in mind, you have to move forward. You hope you have enough. Look, the addition of Assad and Tyone, that could be the deadline deal that you didn't make that you're getting the residual effect for them coming back from injury.
And they both could be back as early as next weekend after they each make another start.
Assad maybe earlier.
Assad before Tyone?
Could be.
They might
think this last one 2 days ago, 58 pitches, hey, we're going to use him as a would-be starter, a would-be middle guy. That's plenty enough pitches right now. We can throw him in if the starter isn't doing a good job. We can use him as an opener for three innings. There's all kinds of different ways to do it these days.
Two other pitchers who made big news in the past week are worth addressing and getting your perspective on, Bruce. Number one, Cade Horton. He has not given up a run since the All-Star break, 23 1/3, scoreless. His last four starts, nobody has scored on Cade Horton. So I think, number one, how is he going to be handled down the stretch? And secondly, Andrew Kittredge, who came over, he pitched four of the first five games. I think he was a Cub. He came over at the deadline. He had an immaculate inning. Love that term. Nine pitches, all strikes, three up, three down.
You forgot the night before.
He got booed. He got booed off the field.
He got booed because he gave up a three-run homer.
He did, and he responded to that in a way that, first of all, I was surprised Craig Council went right back to him. Good on him. Secondly, I think everyone was a little bit more surprised at how he responded. Nine strikes, that's hard to do. The first time the Cubs have had an immaculate inning since Hayden Wesneski back in 2022.
So when you look at Cade Horton, which is what you just brought up,
yep,
I start to get upset a little bit because the practical side of me understands that here's a kid that only threw 34 innings last year. He's the jewel of the farm system as far as starting pitching. He's, as we've seen, can be a dominant pitcher. Hasn't given up a run in, 23 innings?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
But at the same time, two starts ago, he threw 71 pitches. This one, he threw 67. So part of their plan is to continue to dumb down his innings, okay? Based on what?
I think that's smart.
Based on what?
Based on fear is what it is.
Okay.
Based on fear.
I mean, give me a metric, David.
There really isn't. I mean, that's the one thing that Jed Hoyer has alluded to. The industry doesn't really have a lot of data to base these decisions on. What you're doing is you're operating out of fear, just like the White Sox did with Garrett Crochet, just like the Cubs are doing with Cade Horton.
Is there anything in history, maybe recent history, because it worked with Garrett Crochet, right? So last year after the All-Star game, he didn't get traded. They started to get him down to 60 pitches. That was the max.
Mm-hmm.
If he went five innings, great. If he went three innings, great. It was going to be 60 pitches. Obviously, that worked out for him, his team, the White Sox, Boston, everybody, because he's one of the dominant pitchers this year with no limits on his innings, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he's probably going to be a 175-inning guy this year. So if you're using that as your template for Horton, okay, it worked with him. I'm just saying, for all these guys, all these brilliant guys who run front offices and manage teams, they rely heavily on metrics to decide on lineups, to decide on different things that they do as far as roster construction. But when it comes to young pitchers coming off of injuries, it's just, as I used yesterday in Marquee, it's a lot of mumbo jumbo.
Very well put, Bruce. I don't disagree with that. I also think,
as a fan, I can't understand, well, we'll be cautious and then we're going to dumb down his innings and then next year we'll build it back up to where he's Garrett Crochet.
There's nothing that they can point to that says that they should be cautious because this guy suffered when a team wasn't cautious.
Right.
There's really no evidence, correct?
It's just the innings, you know.
It's just a feeling.
You don't have the innings. But when you watch him pitch, David,
mm-hmm.
Do you have any fear that this guy is laboring?
No.
That any fear that
he's attacking?
Yeah.
He's aggressive. His mentality is as oppressive as his stuff.
So my question is this. What about just going game to game? And if you see stressful innings starting, take him out, right? If it's a third inning and he's having stressful innings, he's walked three guys, get him out of there, okay? Bring someone else in. If you see he's sailing through guys like he did the other night where they got him out after 5 2/3 and he's still throwing a shutout, let him go. Let him go till 80 pitches, you know? Nobody throws more than 100 anymore anyway, right?
Right, right. Treat him like every other starting pitcher.
So I'm all for them being careful with young players. I get it. But you have baseball experts like Counsell there as your manager. You have Tommy Hotovy, who's a terrific pitching coach. They're watching the guy. They see the difference in stressful innings and a guy just going out there and dominating.
But, Bruce, they're also worried about the 2032 Cubs. So Cade Horton might be in that rotation in 2032. Yeah,
nobody likes a wise guy, David.
Cade Sorry. Horton Express, choo-choo! All aboard. All aboard. And that was after the most recent start. And Cade Horton talked about his usage after his most recent start. And this is what he had to say.
You know, I think I learned a little bit in the minor leagues just having, you know, like a 5 and 75. It just kind of teaches me how to be efficient. It's not really something I have in the back of my head, but yeah, just going out there and attacking, really. And like I said, being fearless in the strike zone.
Fearless in the strike zone. That's what stands out as much as anything about Cade Horton.
To me, draw the line between that and anxiety of, hey, I have to throw a strike. I only have so many pitches.
Right.
But it maybe for him, it seems to work.
Maybe
I mean,
he's bringing out the best
of
him.
I think he threw 67 pitches, 53 or 54 strikes. That's an incredibly high number of strikes.
83.7% strike rate was the highest for any starting pitcher this year.
Okay. So, but in this circumstance, they got 5 2/3 out of it. Like in the old, that's like old days of 7 or 7 1/3. It's just like, that was as efficient as you're going to get. If he can continue to do that, which he won't every time out, fine. If he has 70 pitches in 3 2/3, got to take him out.
Got to take him out. You got to know your pitcher. You got to make the right move. Chuck and Tim, stay right there. We're going to get your phone calls when we get back. Also, you can join me at Verizon in Norridge at 4265 North Harlem today. Yes, today I am sprinting out of here, and I'll be there between 11:30 and 1:30, registering to win tickets to our next Cubs on Deck event.
That's Verizon, right?
Verizon, yes. August 19th with Nico Horner. Cubs on Deck is powered by Verizon, the most reliable 5G in Chicago. Visit your local Verizon store today, and I will see you at 11:30 in Norridge at 4265 North Harlem. When we come back, your phone calls, more Cubs talk. Willie Castro at 10 o'clock, Chris Getz, 10:30 inside the clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Out here, we feel things. The sore calves that lead to epic views. The cool waterfall mist during a hot hike. And the breeze that hits just right at the summit. But hey, don't just listen to us. Experience it for yourself. All Trails makes it easy to discover the best of the outdoors. With more than 450,000 trails around the world, points of interest along the trail, and offline maps for always-on navigation. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself
in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
I like a lot of different things during the game. There's pancake. I got a little pocket pancake right here that I munch on. They're wonderful. You want some?
I would love some. Thank you so much for that. Oh, those are delicious. Pizza, bagels, what else do you keep in your pocket?
Whatever fits.
Whatever fits. There you go. You heard it here from Pat Murphy first. Pat, thank you.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse with Bruce Levine and David Haw.
Kind of hurts to laugh through that, but that is Pat Murphy having fun with the Brewers, the manager of the hottest team in baseball. Welcome back Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio 670. The score, Bruce, Pat Murphy keeps pancakes in his pocket?
Yeah, he gets hungry.
That's crazy.
So the Brewers, starting a week, maybe they started yesterday, at first base and third base, will now have the Pat's Pocket pancakes for sale. And they will be selling Pat's Pocket pancakes and chicken at first and third base areas.
Because everything goes with chicken?
No, because everything goes with 800 winning percentage.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
Everything's funny right now.
Everything's funny.
You know, Council was the life of the party up until about 10 days ago, right?
Yeah.
And now, you know, again, he's human. Everything that has happened, you know, no yucking it up with the media right now. He's as open and as honest as ever, but the small talk is limited at this point.
And the Brewers, 71-44, they're laughing all the way into the playoffs. You just can hope, if you're a Cub fan, that they're going to peak early. Yeah, they're funny. They won last night on a throw-off. Blake Perkins throws out a runner at the plate in the ninth inning, and boom, they win again. So this is how that sounded, Cub fans.
And now it's going to be a former batting champion in the National League in Jeff McNeil with two outs and a runner at second. And McNeil into center field, a base hit. Perkins throw to the plate on a hop. Yeah. And tag. He is out. Ball game over. Blake Perkins loads up the rifle and finishes this game.
Seventh straight victory.
The Mets have lost 9 of 10, 5 in a row. There's other places suffering right now.
Misery loves company, so yeah, yes.
There's other company out there.
Let's squeeze in a quick phone call before we break. Tim is in Wilmette. Tim, welcome inside the clubhouse.
Hi, Bruce. Hi, David. Thanks for your show. Thanks for bringing it every week. It's awesome. I'm ready. I know September call-ups are soon, but I'm ready for the kids. I'm ready for Casey. I'm ready. We're playing Toronto next week. Could be a little homecoming. Look around the league. Teams that are winning are bringing up a lot of youth, and I think the Cubs should start thinking about bringing up the kids we didn't trade.
Tim, thanks for the phone call. Bruce, any chance on Casey?
Where are you putting him?
DH.
DH. So that means you're sitting Seiya.
Ian Happ.
Oh, you're sitting Ian Happ. I want to be there that
Tucker.
Day.
Tucker. PCA.
I'm going to be there.
It's a fair question. Okay. There's no room at the
inn. What about PCA?
Well, I think he's struggling right now.
Yeah. So the hesitation by counsel, he's replaced Michael Bush. He's replaced other players. But PCA, because of his enormous defensive skills in center field, in counsel's mind, is not replaceable. Okay. So he can slump as much as you want, and he's still going to be in center field.
I hear you, and I understand that.
I don't think it's necessarily wrong.
I don't think it's wrong either. Yeah. I think it's just you're looking for a spark. You hope that you could get one, and you're looking at Iowa as a possibility. But you know who else is on that bench that helps the Cubs kind of deal with these things? His name is Willie Castro. He's played four different positions, and he's been really a guy that already has become reliable in just a week in a Cub uniform. He'll join us next on Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.